The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 13. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. Jesus began by telling them, "Be careful that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. Whenever you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. Such things must happen, but the end is not yet. In fact, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. But be on your guard. People will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake as a witness to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Whenever they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand what you should say. Say whatever is given to you in that hour, because you will not be the one speaking. Instead, it will be the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again that reading of our gospel lesson, Mark chapter 13, Jesus' command. I'll read verse 10. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, time is short. There's only a few lessons left to go. Maybe as a teacher you feel that crunch at the end of a quarter, at the end of a semester, or at the end of the school year. There's only a few more chances in the classroom that I'll have to be able to teach these students. What do I still have to tell them? What maybe do I have to leave out because there just isn't time to cover it all? What's the most important thing that I need to communicate and teach before these children graduate? These students go out into the world. Jesus was in a similar situation as that. It's Holy Week in our text, in this gospel lesson. And time is short. In a couple of days, Jesus will be giving his life as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. The amount of time he had left to teach his disciples was limited. What was he going to make sure to teach? What did he have to communicate to them? What he tells us is the text that's before us. And on this day that we celebrate the festival of the Reformation, we see that the words that he could not leave out for us or for those disciples, we rejoice in those words. The way that God preserved the most important lesson of all. Not just for his disciples, not just for Martin Luther in his time, but for all of us at all times. The gospel must be preached. That was Jesus' focus, even in the face of his cross. And Jesus directed that to be our witness at our crosses too. Been a long time of teaching for Jesus that day. It was Tuesday of Holy Week, what's known as Busy Tuesday. Jesus taught all kinds of different groups. People came and challenged him, tried to trap him in his words. The Sadducees came, the Herodians came, a delegation from the Sanhedrin came, a rich man came to Jesus. All kinds of different lessons that he taught. Now it's the end of a busy day. And Jesus is departing across that Kidron Valley, climbing with his disciples up that Mount of Olives in a similar way that in just two short days he would be doing with those same disciples at night to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to await his capture and his death. Well, as they're making this journey across the Kidron Valley up that Mount of Olives, the disciples comment on the beauty of the temple. How glorious it is. And Jesus tells them that the day will come when that will be destroyed. So they ask, when is this going to happen? When will this take place? Those are the kind of answers that we'd love to know. In a lesson from Jesus, we want to know what's going to happen in the future. We would love to know when Jesus is going to return. We would love to know when our last day is. How much more time do I have? How is it going to happen? What's going to come? But is that the lesson that Jesus teaches? In response to this question, when will this take place? Jesus doesn't teach them those things that they think they'd like to know. No. Jesus takes this opportunity for one more formal lesson with those disciples. A chance to teach them what was most important. And Jesus, in the face of his own death, pointed them to the gospel. That good news of sins forgiven by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, his Messiah, his Christ, his Son, our Savior. He points to this by warning of the converse. The very first words he says in answer to the question, when will this take place, is watch out. Be careful. What does that tell you about the gospel? It's always under the threat of false teachers. There are many who would like to lead you to those answers that you would love to know. But if it didn't come from God, then it ought not be taught. That's why Jesus, in response to the question when these things would take place, said, "Be careful that no one deceives you." So many false teachers. So many lies about God and his gospel. So many paths to be led down astray. So what will these deceivers say? They'll look really good. They'll come in the name of the Lord. They will come saying, "Ego I me," the Greek says. "I am, I am." That's like going around saying, "Jehovah, Jehovah, the Lord, the Lord." I think oftentimes we think, well, those false teachers are clearly the ones who say, "I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who's going to save you. I'm your Savior." But it's not always so obvious, is it? So often they're the ones that Jesus pointed to in another parable and said, "Many will come and proclaim my name, Lord, Lord," and he'll say, "I didn't know you." They will come teaching things and saying, "This is God's word. This is what he has given us to say. This is what he has taught us to communicate." Coming in the name of the Lord. But then speaking things that are false about God in that name of the Lord. Boy, what a troubling thing that is. Those sins against the second commandment, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." He was talking specifically about this error. To corrupt God's gospel, the good news of sins forgiven and peace with God through faith in his chosen one, our Savior Jesus Christ, there can be nothing more damaging or no teaching more, no sin more eternally detrimental to our faith than false teaching, than a corruption of this gospel of Christ, which leads men's souls not to heaven, but to hell. And they'll deceive many. You notice he says, "Many will come in my name teaching these false things." But he also says that many will be deceived by them. So many people are led astray by teachings that sound like it's in the name of the Lord, but really it is contrary to God's word of truth, to what God says about himself in his word. How often aren't we among those who are misled? Whenever our attention is taken away from the gospel, Whenever our focus is taken off of what is most important, the lesson that Jesus sought to communicate to his disciples, whenever our attention is turned to other things, then we are led astray too. Oh, but the converse is true as well. Look at how Jesus taught us to pray. The very first petition that we ask, "Hallowed be your name, Lord. Let your name be holy among us." And how is that name holy? By what we teach. By holding on to the truth of God's word, the gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, help me teach this truth correctly. This is what we must pray. This is that gospel that we must proclaim and live too. Jesus Christ is the only Lord. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. This is the one who came into the world, the very God of God in heaven, who came down to earth to suffer and die on the cross and pay for the sins of the world, for my sins, against his holy name too. Here's a gospel truth. The disciples were admiring that beautiful temple, and Jesus talks to them about tearing that temple down. The magnificent stones, the day would come when not a single one of those stones of the temple will be on top of another. It would be completely destroyed. But another time, Jesus was talking about the temple and tearing it down, but he wasn't talking about that complex. He was talking about his own body. Yes, as he is speaking this discourse on this day, on the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem and that beautiful temple on that Holy Week, where in a few short hours, he would be on another hill outside of Jerusalem, hanging on a cross to make the payment for the sins of the world, his focus is on the gospel. That he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. That's the gospel that must be preached. And Jesus was there proclaiming it, focusing on it, even as he was preparing to, in that very hour, to accomplish that gospel. That's why he was there in Jerusalem, viewing the beautiful temple. Because he would soon be the Lamb of God sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. What a focus Jesus had in view of his cross. But watch out, Jesus says. Watch out for false prophets. Watch out for false Christs. Watch out for those who come saying, "Jehovah, Jehovah, Lord, Lord." But do not proclaim this gospel of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Well, what kind of false Christs do we pursue today? Money. It's a horrible false Christ. Coming and claiming, I am. This is the one who will give us all our happiness. And how deceived so many people are. Thinking that that's the end of all sorrow and sadness. And if I only have that, then I will finally be happy. Or how about one political candidate or another? It must be this one because that one will kill us all. Or it has to be this one because that's the end of democracy if we don't do that. Jesus never told us that. Are any of these our Savior? And if any of these are the ones in whom we put our hope for peace with God and eternal life in heaven, that's a false Savior. Don't be swept away by the hype to believe that one or another will be the end of the world, that one or another is the Antichrist. Terrible things are said for the sake of winning votes, winning support. Don't believe the lies that each other says. Do your civic duty and vote according to the dictates of your conscience about who will serve and govern and protect the citizens of this country best, but don't trust them as your Savior. False Christs, so many false teachers that deceive, So many paths that lead to hell. So many voices to hear, teaching about God, teachings about God that are corrupt, that are damaging to the soul eternally. So Jesus, with a perfect focus on the most important thing of all, on the gospel, warns us with these words, "Be careful that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many." But the gospel must be preached. And so Jesus focused on that in the face of his cross. Because Jesus kept that perfect focus on that most important lesson, we are saved. But the day would come when Jesus would leave this earth. And it was coming soon. And he was going up to heaven. His lessons were limited here on earth. The number of class periods with his disciples were dwindling rapidly, and now they were going to be the teachers. They would be the messengers. They would be the witnesses. So what should they teach? What lesson must be said by them? To what must they witness? The same gospel, of course. Just as Jesus made it his focus in the face of his cross, Christians make it their witness as well, even in the face of their crosses. He goes on with that warning word again. Be on your guard. People will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake as a witness to them. Now he turns their attention again, not to trying to guess a day the end of the world, but what they need to do. Witness. What they need to teach. What they need to speak. The very things that they had heard from the Savior themselves. The gospel. And yes, he warns them of their own troubles to come. They'll be brought in. They'll be arrested and dragged before ruling bodies to condemn them and make judgments against them. But what does Jesus say about those troubling times? They're not crosses to bear. They're not things to fear. These are opportunities, chances to witness to the gospel of Christ. Jesus died for them too. Tell them, speak that gospel, he said to his disciples. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. What a wonderful word and encouragement that Jesus gave to his disciples. Of all the things that you need to do, don't save your skin. Don't try to get out of trouble. Proclaim the good news. Like a herald running with something so important to tell that he just had to get it out. There's one thing that needs to be said. It's necessary that it will be said. It has to happen. It will. And God is going to use you to do it, he said to his disciples. To testify, to witness, maybe even with your own blood. That the blood of Christ was shed for your salvation. The life of Christ was given to save you from eternal death in hell. No doubt those words were spoken to the disciples very directly and specifically about the martyrdom that they would experience for many of them. But every Christian of every age can apply these words to themselves too. Every Christian in life must stand and preach the gospel, must be witness of that gospel truth. That word preach isn't just what the pastor does. It won't just be pastors who stand before rulers and judges. Every Christian has the opportunity to witness to this good news, to proclaim the truth of what our Savior has done for us. Where would the strength come from to make that witness? Where does our strength come from to bear up under our crosses these opportunities to speak for our faith? They come from God who gave the gospel in the first place. You know that one who entered into your heart to give you that faith, that trust, that confidence in Jesus who saved you from your sins? God's Holy Spirit is the one who planted that gospel in your heart first. That's why you know. That's why you believe. That's why you're here today. That same powerful God will be in the words that you speak when you witness the most critical, this most important, this absolutely necessary lesson of the gospel. Whenever they arrest you, Jesus said, not if, but when. The chance will come for you to witness too. Not if, but when. Whenever they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand what you should say. Say whatever is given you in that hour, because you will not be the one speaking. Instead, it will be the Holy Spirit. Whether it was the witness of the three men in the fiery furnace, they weren't pastors or preachers, or the witness of those princes at the Diet of Augsburg, or at Augsburg Confession, who offered their heads for the sake of the gospel. They were citizens. They were not spiritual leaders. You before co-workers, neighbors, friends, don't worry what you'll say. Just let the Holy Spirit speak, just as that Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Share the truth to which you cling as well. Let the gospel be proclaimed through you. It must. There's no more important lesson to teach, and God's going to get it done through you. Jesus knew that his time on earth was short. And he directs us to act that way in our lives too. One more lesson to teach. What will it be for me? One more sermon to give. What will I proclaim? What will I say? One more chance with this person to share the good news. What are we going to talk about? I'm on my deathbed. What do I share? What's in my will? What do I want people to know about me forever? Jesus Christ, who lived for me and died for me and rose to give me life eternal. That is the gospel that must be preached. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.